Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Today's a very special day. It is the day when we as a staff every year around this Sunday, we do a presentation together that we work on. Some years they love it, some other years they're like, Pastor, please. But this year we're all excited, we're all on board. They're always on board, but sometimes they're like, really, you're gonna make me sing? I should bring that singing one back. It was quite hysterical. Did you hear over on that section? But today is a very strong focus, and it's actually a very prophetic focus, something the Lord put in my heart earlier in the fall. And as I began to research, I realized there was an issue, and that issue surrounds the fact of Bibles. Bibles are not being printed as much anymore because people are not buying them. And also that because we're so dependent on our phones, more people have many Bibles but read less. People have phone on Bible but read not at all. And also AI is a manipulator of all things. And so we're watching a time coming that is going to be a dangerous time if ministers like myself don't stand up and declare why the word of the Lord is so essential. And that's what God burdened me with. Back in September and October, I started some research. And then I really want you to hear today as we've all put it together. So let me just remind us today, first of all, the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, Jesus went into the hill country around the Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight path for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight and the rough road smooth. This is an entire message all by itself, but I want you to know that when the prophet was crying out as a voice in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, he was reminding us today that we have to be very careful about the spiritual focus that we take and not allow ourselves to drift into a worldliness and a worldly concept that destroys our faith without us even knowing it. Thank you for the one amen. I may have to do that all by myself. Luke chapter 4, verse 3 to 5. The devil said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, tell the stone to become bread. And Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. The devil took him to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And God had to keep reminding the devil who was tempting him, because he's a tempter to us, that the word of God is premier and even the devil cannot counteract it. We've got to remember that today. So we're going to introduce to you today the power of the word and the reason and purpose of the word. The word began only as law in the Old Testament. Then God moved his word into prophecy by prophets. Then came the word in history. The word then after became in flesh as a human, which is why we celebrate Christ's coming. Then Christ, as we read when we were doing the communion, he sent the Holy Spirit to sanction the word in us, to bring to memory the word in us, because now it's no longer a priest that carries the word. We're all priests unto God. And so the Spirit descended after Christ to make the word come alive in us. But God also sanctioned that his word would be written, and it should never be written or tempered by evil minds that are anti-God. The word always came in the purity and with the purity of the Spirit. And it was given unto even the Moses and the prophets and the priests. It was always given by the Spirit of God, not manipulated by human hands and human minds. So we are going to be very conscious today as we go through reminding ourselves why the word is important. Sitting here And I'll talk about this a bit later. Sitting here, I have multiple Bibles. These are some of my Bibles. I love the Bible. I'm a preacher. I should have Bibles. I didn't bring all the tattered ones. But I'll tell you, I have the Message version just because sometimes I will just look at it just to think, what is it? What's it saying? I have the New Living, which is pretty worn because I use that one a lot. I have the Life Application, which is written by Spirit, the only one written by Spirit-empowered theologians, which is now going out of print. We'll talk about it at the end. I've got this one, I think, is a NIV, and I love looking at it to see what God's saying. I've got this one, which is an RSV, and our Life Application Bible. Today, we'll talk a little bit more about those. I've got my father's Bible. There's nothing like having one of your parents' Bible, because we pass it on to generations, and you see what was so important to them as those underlines in the Word. You don't get underlined in the phone. You get the underline passed down through the Bible. I didn't get my mom's because they took a vote and said that I had enough. But we want to present to you today the Word, the Holy Word of God. And so going through, I'm going to just share what's coming, and then they will roll out together. I've done the introduction. Pastor Nate, Tim, and Christy will be singing in between. First presentation, the Word as Law, will be Pastor Ruth. Second presentation, the Word as Prophecy, will be Pastor Stefan, Nick, and Cherry. Then Nate, Christy, and Tim will sing again. Then the third presentation, the Word in Flesh, Pastor Ruby and Debbie. And then the Word in Spirit, Pastor Rob and Leah. And I will conclude with the Word in Print. This is for you today to recognize that the Word of the Lord is holy. Amen.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid and think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be with me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
In the law. What was the law? It was something that God gave us. Moses wrote it in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the purpose of his revelation in the law was to reveal who he was, that he was holy, he was just, he was merciful. And in the Torah, the law was his plan that he wanted us to know. It revealed so much about who God was and his desire for us. In fact, when a king came to the throne of Israel, he was given in Deuteronomy this instruction. He is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of the law, taken of that from the Leviticus priest. It is to be with him. It is to be read all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord and his God and follow carefully all of the words and the laws and its degrees. The law. It revealed who God truly was. In fact, David in Psalms 86 says this: "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may know your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. Oh, the law was good. The law was very good. But as we memorized it and kept it, we found we fell so short of it. We couldn't keep it. As much as we would memorize it and try to strive to keep it, we kept failing. The law was good. In fact, Romans 15 says, for everything that was written to us in the past was written to teach us. But God was about to reveal a greater plan. He wanted to give us a greater understanding of him. And he wanted us to experience this multifaceted, sovereign God. That's why we celebrate Christmas. Because Christmas was a huge step in his plan to reconcile us back to the Father. See, Jesus said when he was here, I didn't come to abort the law, I accomplished the law. And I thank the Lord that today, when we couldn't fulfill, complete, or accomplish the law, he did it in our place. He stood in our place and said, it is done. It is finished. It is complete. It is accomplished. That's so good. So in the beginning was the Word. And though we knew very little at that time, it still revealed who he was. But let's see what else God does next to draw us closer to him and to be aware of him.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, it says this: we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. You must understand that prophecy is twofold. It is forthtelling, F-O-R-T-H, declaring the truth as written in Scripture, or in other words, proclaiming the Word of God. It is also foretelling, F-O-R-E, declaring the truth before it is known, or put in another way, predicting the Word of God as it is yet to be revealed. When we enter into the Christmas season, we are entering into a time of prophecy. See, in Genesis, God prophesies to Satan that one will come to strike your head. And I could preach upon the fact that much can be said about a strike to the head in comparison to the strike to a heel. God's prophecy in Genesis is the first to foretell what is to come. And as we sit here in the Christmas season, we can revel in the beginning of the fulfillment of that prophecy. We read in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we must understand that Jesus' birth is the fulfillment of the prophecies that we read in Isaiah 7 verse 14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to his son, and she will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. At Christmas, we celebrate the joy that the gifts bring us. But we must also remember that at Christmas time, it's our opportunity to remember that God honors his word, his prophetic word that allows us to experience eternal salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. That is the greatest gift. That word allows us to read this verse in 2 Peter with a bit more clarity. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy." We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a light shining in a dark place. And until that day dawns, and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets, they were removed by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God.
Accept prophecy with faith and guard your heart. Believe that what God says is actually on its way. You don't need to see proof first. So guard your heart and do not doubt or be discouraged. Prophecy is a blessing and a protection for you. And also pray and declare your faith. Ask God to show you how the word applies to you. Pray that the word comes to pass. Stand on the word and declare it. Prophecy is promises from God. An example of biblical prophecy can be read in Micah 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are at a distant past, will come to you from my behalf.
Take action and walk towards the promise. Work behind the scenes to prepare for the word's fulfillment while trusting God with the rest of the process, even when you don't understand. Be open to God's plan and be ready to say yes to his will. Take steps in the right direction in preparation for the arrival of Christ. Stay vigilant and persistent. Look for signs of the prophecy's fulfillment with expectation. Take a look around. Continue to walk in faith and build your spiritual strength during the waiting period. See the miracle today. Do not allow offense to cause you to fall away from the promise, especially when the wait becomes difficult. For God's prophecies will be fulfilled, offering eternal life to all. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh refers to the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Jesus, both fully divine and fully human. This is a mystery that our minds cannot comprehend, only made possible by God the Holy Spirit. Why did the Word become flesh? In coming to earth, Jesus presented God in a physical and tangible way, calling humanity back to him. God entered the world in the physical embodiment of baby Jesus to fulfill God's plan and become the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Jesus modeled God in action. He modeled relentless, unfailing love by giving up his divinity to become humanity. In the original language, dwelt meant tabernacled among us. In the Old Testament, the presence of God in Jesus Christ chose to live among us. Mary housed the presence of God. Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. He identified with us, ate, drank, slept, walked among us, learned the word, was baptized. Then we saw his glory. He displayed unconditional love, healed the sick, fed the hungry. His love knew no boundaries. He suffered, died, rose again, returned to his Father with the sole purpose of wanting us to believe in him and to receive eternal life. By becoming flesh, the glory of God was made visible in the person of Jesus Christ.
Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Mary pondered this miracle that she was about to deliver, and it changed her entire life. It had the power to change yours. God, has he come to make you new, we ask. This child that Mary delivered will soon deliver the world. He will calm the storms with his hand. When Mary kisses her little baby, Mary kissed the face of God. This is heaven's perfect lamb. This sleeping child Mary is holding is the great I am. This was awesome for Mary, but this was really meant for you. For whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels tread? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? Did you know? nation, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is the great
Amen. Wow, the word becomes visible to humanity. Well, what provides humanity with access to the word? Well, listen to John chapter 6, verse 63-64. It says, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. Well, take this perspective. You're in a group of people, and someone is sharing on a topic that they're really passionate about. Well, the words begin to take a life on a life of their own. The listeners are engaged. They're zoned in. They're now excited. Now, there's other times when someone shares, but the vibe is just not happening. It's so different. The people listening are not really into it. They're being polite. Well, why are these dynamics so different? Folks, it's all about the connection. Our focus today is the word. And as vital as the word is, unless you have a connection, you will not receive the full potential of the word and relationship with God. What brings the word, Jesus' words, to life for us? It is the spirit that empowers. Jesus said, the spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Even in these few moments, we see the progression from the word in law to now the spirit giving life to the believer. When we accept God's son, the baby who came to earth, lived 33 physical years, died on a cross, rose from the dead. When you and I receive Jesus, the spirit, God's spirit, the Holy Spirit becomes alive in us. The Spirit empowers, gives life, gives wisdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6-8 highlights this transition. He has enabled us. You've already heard that this morning. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written law, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Christmas should take on a much deeper meaning, but for many, Christmas is just a holiday. The Bible, a good book. Jesus, a good man. You see, there's no room been given for the Spirit to come alive. When you recognize and receive the life-giving, transforming message of God's love through Jesus, your spirit becomes alive to the true spiritual word. The Spirit of God in us allows the word to be more than just a good book, but a daily life-directing empowerment for our lives. We are changed when the Spirit is allowed to work in us. We move from unbelief to spiritual freedom. The Word is empowered by the Spirit. You and I can declare the Word and are empowered to declare the message of God's love. Folks, the Word is living. The Word is power. The Word is Spirit-born. The Word is life. Jesus and His Word are one.
So Hebrews 4 verse 12 shows us what the word in spirit does. It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Then in Acts 1, verses 7-8, it shares why Jesus Christ promised the Holy Spirit to us. It says, he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And finally, in Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, it tells us about when the Holy Spirit came. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them."
The Holy Word of God, the Word of the Lord as law, the Word of the Lord as prophecy, the Word of the Lord as flesh, the Word of the Lord as spirit, today the Word of the Lord in print. It is not just that God gave his word that we would do whatsoever we want with it. The word is life. You've heard it. And there are many who have gone the way of not fearing the word of the Lord. There was once where even the ungodly feared the word of God. But over generations where many, even Christians, don't fear the word of God, the ungodly don't know what it means, what it looks like to fear the word of God. Proverbs 9:10 says, "Fear the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." The word of the Lord came to humanity in purity. Psalm 12, verse 6 tells us the word is flawless. God's promises are pure like silver refined in a furnace, purified seven times over. People trembled at the word of the Lord. Isaiah 66 says, "This is the ones that the Lord looks on, those who are humble, contrite in spirit, and tremble at his word." People were convicted and revered the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:10, Moses said, "Summon the people before me, I will instruct them. They will learn to fear the Lord as long as they live and will teach their children to do so also." So it is still our responsibility to not only preserve the purity of the word of the Lord until Jesus returns, but to teach our children the meaning, the power, the purity, and the longevity, the futuristic aspect that the word of the Lord is unchanging. Times and seasons change, books change, technology changes, but God's word does not change. The Old Testament patriarchs, they preserved the oral traditions, protecting it until deliverance came. The prophets and priests preserved the traditions, protecting the Torah, which was now in scroll, until the Messiah came. The kings revered the word. Psalm 81, David says, "But my people would not heed my voice. Israel would have none of me, so I gave them over to stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels." The kings that did not revere the word were given over to walk in their own counsel, and we see the disasters that happen. So it is incumbent upon every single person that we preserve the word of the Lord as it came from the Lord, and we never allow ourselves to be ignorant of the enemy's devices in a modernized day where technological aspects will control, dictate, dominate, and even infuse their own agenda subtly into what we did not preserve and protect or pass down to generations. The word was law, prophecy, flesh, spirit, print. The word was, the word has come, the word will remain forever. The word of the Lord is everlasting. And so I want to remind us it's equally important today as we embrace every technological aspect and realize governments are fearing what they've allowed to be created. God is not fearing it, but he's already prophesied. There will come a time there will be a famine of the word. And we're seeing that already. More people with Bibles, less people knowing it. The Bible in print is not a new concept. This is what I really want to get across online and in-house. The Bible in print Some will tell you, oh, man printed it. The Bible in print, as you saw, it came in scrolls dictated by God, but it began. Here's where it began. The law came on a stone. Exodus 24, verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay there. I will give you the tablets of stone on which I've inscribed the instructions and commands so you can teach the people. Moses, I will write it on a stone with my finger and you will teach the people. Moses ended up casting that stone down because of the rebellion of the people. But in Deuteronomy 10, verse 1 to 2, it's so important that the word is in print, that the Lord called Moses again and says, at that time the Lord said to Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones. Also make a wooden ark, a sacred chest to store them in. Come up to me on the mountain, and I will write on the tablets the same words that were on the ones you smashed. Then place the tablets in the ark. There is a level of importance to preserving the word as God has ordained it and dictated it to our spirits. In the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 30, verse 8, now go and write these words. Write them in a book. They will stand until the end of time as a witness. The prophet Habakkuk says in Habakkuk 2, verse 2, then the Lord said to me, write my answer plain on tablets so a runner can carry the correct message to others. Folks, I have a burden that God has given me that I will not let go. We have got to preserve that the correct message is given to the next generations. And the final, Paul, the Apostle Paul, in his final advice to the church in Galatians 6:11, Paul says, notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. As God moved upon Paul, he wanted to let them know, no one helped me do this. No one instructed me to do this. No one taught me to do this. I heard the voice of the Lord, and I wrote it in my own handwriting. So important for us to know the power of the word. And the last one is this, John the Revelator. In the Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, the angel says, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. I trust you can hear what God has put in my heart, not just for PPC, but I trust many other pastors will pick up this message and run with it. We cannot sit back, watch something happen that will distort the purity of the word in the future, and then 10 years from now we say, look what they have done. No, I say to you today, look what we have done. For the word is to be preserved, invested in, read, memorized, understood, recited. How many remember growing up in Sunday school, the first thing you knew was the books of the Bible are Genesis, Exodus, right? I'm going to have to teach the rest of you. But my cry to you today, do not ignore the word in print. Do everything else. Read it on everything you want. Tablets, electronic tablets, not the tablets of stone that God had. Tablets and phones, and there'll be new devices. Pretty soon you have iWatch. Pretty soon, I don't know, you'll have one dropping in front of you from the sky. I don't know. But it can be manipulated by masterminds who do not care about the God whom we serve. Print can be tested. Why do I have all these different ones? I will check a passage against another because I know the background of all of these Bibles, and I'm very careful what Bible I use. Not everybody who says they're making a Bible can have a Bible. And let me say that loudly. Not everybody who's got a powerful name can make a Bible, because that's not how it works. There's sacrilege that will come in great form. And I want to encourage you today, start studying the Word of God. Start studying the Word of God. I've got to close right now. And I just want to let you know today, at the end of this service, we're going to have a Bible purchase program that I need you to come now and help me. I'll do this quickly. Just come and move this table over so I can use it. And my favorite Bible is this one. It's called the Fire Bible. When the Lord put it on my heart to get the church to purchase, these are study Bibles. Everybody's got a Bible. These are study. So when you're reading it with a devotional, you can go back and check what it really means rather than listening to people tell you interpretations that don't exist. And so this is my favorite. And I said, I'm going to get the church to buy this. And I asked one of the staff, I said, find out who's got these and what the prices are. And I discovered that they don't exist. This went out of print, and they only have so many copies left of the student version. And I said, what about the adult version? They said, they're not buying. And so I'm like, what do you mean it's out of print? It is out of print. This is the only one written by Spirit-empowered theologians over decades. And so I began researching, only to find out my other favorite Bible, the Life Application, there's only so many copies left. And this is another thorough theological Bible. And I said to a book company, buy me every copy you can find and bring it to my church. We also are going to have, by the way, those online and in-house, there's not a penny of this for the church. I just invited them. They drove from wheresoever. I said, just find me every Bible, because I called many Bible publishers in the U.S. only to find out that Bibles are not being printed. Children's Bible. Children, young children, older children, mature children, youth. The youth are so good with their phone, but one day their phone will tell them what is not truth. And so I'm going to encourage every parent, buy them a Bible. Is this what you got me for Christmas? Got you your life for Christmas. This is the best.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.